right, hour number three kicks off right here on a Tuesday afternoon. Good to have you with us. If you missed any of the first 2 hours or any of yesterday's show, check out the podcast on the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever, and I mean wherever, you listen to podcasts. Coming up, Brandon Coleman, a short little interview with him from over the weekend, starting left guard for the Commanders. As well, I got to get into something that I did last night that you guys are probably going to enjoy, those of you that go out to Northwest Stadium for football games, and I suppose concerts and other events, soccer games and whatnot, because the Commanders brought us out there last night and we had some dinner. And I don't mind telling you, it was pretty good. Now, not having to pay for it is the best news. But had a good experience. Get you some information on that coming up. And as well, there's this. Look, I know I'm hardcore sometimes, but I truly believe players, right, especially in the day and age that we're in the NFL, where if you have 1 year left on your deal, and the same is true for coaches too, right? Coaches don't want to go into a lame duck year either. Now, sometimes they have no choice. Sometimes they have no choice, right? It's how you knew Ron Rivera was gone. Obviously a terrible year, but also Ron Rivera would have been gone even if it wasn't as terrible of a year. He had no contract left. Oh, actually, I think he did have a contract. Bad example. There was one example of a coach, and I can't remember who it was. That's my fault. My brain just sometimes can't remember everything. But there was a coach. Mike McCarthy, that's who it was. So I was right division. Mike McCarthy went into last year, final year of his deal. Everybody knew it, right? He was a lame duck. Team didn't make the playoffs. Dak got hurt. Everybody got hurt. Micah got hurt. And everyone knew that Mike McCarthy was a dead man walking, because it wasn't, hey, we're going to retain you and we're just going to keep status quo because you had some unfortunate luck. You had to work out a new contract. And Mike McCarthy wasn't going to do a second year in a row as a lame duck. He wanted some level of security, which you can't blame him. But the bottom line is that when you have 1 year left on your deal, you want some leverage. You want some security. You want some ability to control your destiny. Now, some, especially players, want to get to free agency so that they can test the market amongst 31 other teams and are willing to take that chance, especially if the negotiation or the extension offers are not to their liking. Coaches generally work the opposite. It's not like they're always looking for the next team or whatever. But players specifically, with 1 year remaining, often start squawking, right? They want that security. They want the guaranteed cash. They want this. They want that. And that's okay, right? I've had to just kind of adjust to that and deal with that. It is what it is. I don't have to like it, but it is what it is. But here's the thing. When they start, and this became a big, 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 big thing this offseason. It has happened in prior offseasons as well. But it really became a big thing now. With the Myles Garrett situation, the biggest culprit of them all, with the Terry McLaurin situation, and with the Trey Hendrickson situation, all three requesting trades, some demanding trades, what have you. By doing what they did, have they ruined that leverage point for players? Have they ruined that leverage point for players? Meaning, by requesting trades, with 1 year remaining on their deal or because they're unhappy, and then immediately signing, not immediately, but soon thereafter, signing a new deal with the team that they so badly wanted to get away from by requesting a trade, demanding a trade. As soon as that team ponied up the cash, have they given away their biggest leverage? And I say they absolutely have. Nobody for a second thought when Terry requested a trade that he really wanted a trade, that it was anything more than an agent ploy. So now teams, if a dumbass like me has figured this out, right, and a bunch of you figured it out, what do you think Adam Peters thought to himself when Buddy Baker and Terry McLaurin sent in a trade request? Do you actually think they took it seriously, or do you think they urinated all over the piece of paper? Not to get too graphic, but you get the point.
Yeah.
They didn't take that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That was a joke. It used to be when a player said, hey, man, I want a trade. I want out. He meant it. He wanted out for whatever reason. Not happy with the organization, not happy with the leadership, not happy with the direction, wanting to win, not happy with money, wanting a better contract, whatever the case might be. It used to mean something. Now, all of these guys, and three primetime examples, and I'm telling you, I mean, we're, what, 10 days away from the season opener, right? I mean, what do you think Micah Parsons? I mean, we've said this all offseason, and it hasn't happened yet. Does anybody really think Micah Parsons was serious wanting a divorce from the Cowboys?
I think that I understand what you're saying 100%, and I tend to agree with you on most of it. I think the only thing I would differentiate is, like, Myles Garrett got paid. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think Micah Parsons is definitely going to get paid. In the cases of Terry and maybe Trey Hendrickson, I don't know if we ever found out the AAV for Terry, but certainly Trey Hendrickson, when you threaten to that, like, you wanted to a trade and then you just get a $14 million or $15 million boost, I think in those cases you can definitely say, yeah, they are losing their leverage. But I think for me it's just a more case-by-case basis. I'm looking at it more like if I'm in a relationship and my girl says, like, fix this or I'm leaving. If I don't see her to be something that I want to keep, that doesn't hold the same weight as somebody who's an amazing girlfriend who I'm like, okay, whatever she's asking for, we're going to give her. You know what I mean? I think the leverage there is different, which is why Myles Garrett can say, I want to trade. He may not mean it, but it shows that he's frustrated and he's angry and like, if you keep this going, I will get a trade and someone's definitely going to pick him up and pay him what he wants. And Cleveland's looking at it like, okay, when are we ever going to have this opportunity to get this player back? So in Myles Garrett's case, I don't think that leverage ever is going to hurt that caliber of player. But now if we're going talking about, like, Trey Hendrickson's and maybe even Terry McLaurin's, I think that's where the leverage is kind of lost with the trade request.
I think you bring up some really good points. And you're right. There's different leverage points and different values and different, I guess, levels of player, right? But I guess for me, what requesting a trade has become and the seriousness of it and therefore the damage to the relationship of it, it has become, again, useless across the board because even if you're a Myles Garrett, a top three or four player in the NFL, again, you quickly saw how things changed as soon as the Cleveland Browns ponied up the cash. So if you're saying, oh, it's not about the cash, it's not about the money, it's about, I want to win. I want to win a Super Bowl, the direction of the franchise, blah, 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 blah. Even though they had won 11 games the year before, 11 games. And Myles Garrett was crying, carrying on and crying like a baby about wanting to win. Again, AMAC, I understand your situation or the point you're trying to make, that there's levels of distinction and levels of players, and I got it. I get what ultimately I get that there is differences. And I'm not saying it's always going to be this case, but I can't help but look around and say all of these situations were settled in different ways. Well, Trey Hendrickson from Terry McLaurin and Myles Garrett. But like yesterday, we told you Jacoby Myers of the Raiders requested a trade. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
He's got 1 year left on his deal, AMAC. Does he really want a trade? No. Well, he'll take a trade if somebody will pay him more money. But if you said, hey, man, you requested a trade, I'm going to trade you to Jacksonville, but Jacksonville's not going to give you more money. You think Jacoby Myers is going to be happy with that? You think that's what Jacoby Myers wants? No, instead he's using that to get more money out of them. And immediately, as we mentioned, they tried to work out a contract extension. And it didn't work. They couldn't come to terms. That was exactly the report after it came out that he requested a trade. My point is they're doing it solely to make more money, to get more money. And it's not working in every case. Now, maybe in Myles Garrett's case, it did. Maybe in Terry McLaurin's case, it did. It isn't working right now. It did in a short-term way for Trey Hendrickson. He got more cash this year.
Yeah.
But it didn't get him the long-term contract extension that he wanted.
I don't know if he's happy with that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then, again, if, what's his name with the Raiders, Jacoby Myers, apparently didn't get whatever the negotiations were. If he didn't get paid, well, what does it get you? What does it get you? And are they ruining their leverage? We talk about players all the time not having leverage because they're not willing to sit out and miss game checks, right? So they came up with this fake hold-in crap, mm-hmm. right? What I'm trying to get at, and maybe I'm not making the point, I hope I am, but what I'm trying to get at is the little bit of leverage that a player under contract has is being ruined by a couple of these players that say, I want out. Yeah. I want a trade. I'm not happy here. And then as soon as, again, the team gives them a sweet amount of cash, all of a sudden, bygones are bygones. Because then the next tier of guys comes and says, well, like for instance, Malik Nabers in a couple of years, right? If the Giants, for whatever reason, if he's, you know, a stud like we all expect, and the Giants don't pony up, I don't know, $50 million a year by then for a wide receiver. Or $45 million a year, whatever the hell it is. If they don't, I want to trade. Going into the final year of his, I want to trade.
I think that's one of the players where the leverage will work. I think you made the point, though. It's just the players don't have much options.
Right, but that used to be one of their big options, to demand a trade or to request a trade, right?
But
that used to be something.
So if you're Jacoby,
it's now nothing.
If you're Jacoby Myers, right? Let's put yourself in Jacoby Myers' shoes, mm-hmm. and you feel like you can't go to free agency. You're going into the last year of your contract, and there's not much you can do. And you feel like you talk to teams, your agent has talked to teams, and you feel like your worth is, I'm just throwing a number out there, $15 million. And now the Raiders are coming at you like, we're not paying you more than $10 million a year. And you have to go into the season playing on some rookie deal that's jacked up, that they probably got you in the third round, and you're outperforming. These are all hypotheticals, right. By the way. I don't know. You're outperforming where you got drafted and all these things. Again, it's just a case-by-case basis. How would you say, which way would you create leverage in order to say, man, just give me what I deserve?
Right, but if creating leverage is the idea, which it is, right,
yeah.
you're not wrong about that. What I'm saying is, are you really creating leverage by requesting a trade?
In some instances, yes. I think
in some instances, maybe.
Yeah, I think in Myles Garrett.
But did it in Terry McLaurin's case? Just use Terry. We don't know exactly,
yeah.
But I guess my point is nobody in the media and nobody in the fan base took it seriously. Do we buy for 1 second that Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, Josh Harris, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, they looked at each other around a conference table and said, Terry's really serious. He wants out of here. we're going to have to give him the money.
No, but I think that you look at it like, I don't want to continue to piss off this player. Like, and it's different. Like, Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons' situations were different. Trey Hendrickson's situation was different. Like, when those players requested trades, I think everyone, maybe the front offices in those organizations didn't take it serious, but I think everyone around them was like, okay, what's the deal that we can throw at them to get this done? Like, how can we make this possible? And once you let teams know that, hey, I'm available, you know, I think that definitely affects, and again, it's certain cases. Jacoby Myers, I don't know if demanding a trade in that situation helps him, but also, you made the point earlier, what options do players have? They don't have options.
Here's the one point that I probably screwed up on that I think you're kind of sort of alluding to loosely is, once you request a trade, right, and it makes the public news cycle, right, which it always does, if you're a player of some sort of demand and some sort of high-end talent, which presumably we're just talking about players that have higher-end talent, it does let every other team know, hey, man, you know, this player, not happy, maybe make a call. Make a call to said team, whether it be Vegas, whether it be the Washington, you know, whatever. Make a call and offer what you want to offer. And that might be how they're justifying it in their mind, whereas a dummy like me is saying, yeah, you wanted a trade. You said you wanted a trade, and then you folded like a cheap suit as soon as they gave you what you kind of wanted. You know, so I guess we could look at it in different ways, and maybe it's a matter of semantics. I just scoff at this now. Like, if I'm an NFL front office, sure, I might make a call to Cleveland when Myles Garrett says, I want out. I mean, I really want out. But it didn't make any sense to begin with. Same thing with Terry. Now, again, Jacoby Myers might be different. With Trey Hendrickson, I'm not saying that it didn't make any sense, because I would want out of Cincinnati too. And the market so rapidly changed, mostly because of the Myles Garrett situation. But the point being is, I understood that one a little bit. And I guess to your point, every individual situation is differently. There's no uniform thing across the board. Got it. And that makes sense. That's a good point. But if I'm not Joe Schmo, if I'm good to very good and not elite, 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 if I'm Terry McLaurin-esque, I think these guys have hurt others, their own leverage, and I think they've hurt others.
And I agree.
And for everybody to say, well, Terry didn't hurt his leverage. He got paid $32 million. First of all, we don't know exactly. We still don't know exactly. Secondly, we don't know if they would have paid him this anyway, whether he requested a trade or not. We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we could ask it tomorrow, right? When Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are available, they're probably not going to tell us. We could ask Terry, hey, do you think the trade request helped your effort? And he might say, yeah. He might say, no. He might say, I don't want to talk about it, whatever. But I think they've hurt other NFL players by, again, requesting trades, then quickly following suit, relatively quickly, to sign a new deal with their team, to stay with their team. And you might say, well, that's how they got that done. Okay, you might say that. But ultimately, by doing what they're doing, at least in Hendrickson, McLaurin, and Myles Garrett's case, I think they're hurting the overall cause. Because if you really, really, really are serious, man, then you want out. Then you are willing to do whatever it takes to get out, and you're not doing whatever it takes. And whatever it takes means sitting out, holding out, not playing, basically doing what Trent Williams did back in 2019.
So how do you think the players should create the leverage then? Because I think that's like one of the few tools they have in their bag.
It's a great question. I'll answer it on the other side. And we got to get a bunch of these calls because creating leverage is important. But there's a way to create leverage that they never want to do. They never want to do. And I'll tell you what that is on the other side. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. And we're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, 25 minutes after the hour. Good to have you with us. We take you up till 4 o'clock, Burgundy and Gold today. It's just something to think about. Just something to think about. In the rewind of the Terry McLaurin thing, again, nobody took it seriously. Did it help? Why would it have helped? I think the Commanders were willing to go to wherever they were willing to go and whatever they got this deal done at, probably all along. They just wanted to see if we could get Terry McLaurin at $26, $27 million per year. And maybe they did base. And the $32 million per year is just incentives. Remember, he had a very large per-game roster bonus due this year. My understanding on that is that will go, once it's accrued per game, $850,000, that will go on next year. That's my understanding of how the cap works when it comes to per game roster incentives. If you think about it, if Terry McLaurin plays all 17 games and he gets $850,000 per game, that equals like $15 million, $16 million that he's going to get extra next year. Right? Which is kind of a weird, dangerous slope. All right, let's get to the phones. Let's get to our guy, Double A, Athan in Annapolis, with us. Double A, how are you?
Everything's good. I would just say, you know, short and sweet, you got to know your audience. That's one thing I've learned in life as I got older. Learn your audience. Learn who you're talking to and what you, you know, you're dealing with somebody like the Bengals owner, like, you know, you're dealing with somebody who just doesn't get it. That's somebody I would say that definitely is in his father. They, with all the issues they had, they lucked into Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. But leverage, to your point, I mean, I think it's all just part of the game. I think it's like a somebody's crying wolf, basically.
Okay. All right. We'll get back to Athan. He wants to finish. I'm sure he'll want to finish up his point in just a sec. Let's get Little in here. Next up on line three. What's up, Little?
What's going on, Rudy? Shout out to A. Mac. Hey, look. There you go. I think Double A and myself are the only callers that's season tickets on. I'm not sure, though. I'm going to say this because I was at the tasting the other day. Double A, you got to try them crab rolls, man. I'm telling you now, Rooster, they stepping the game up. Which crab rolls now? They got a new, they had the tasting at the stadium the
yes.
other day.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, I had them last night. And they were terrific. And as a matter of fact, I just got to make sure I pull it up correctly in my phone here, so I don't do the wrong thing here. But Chef James Taylor of DMV Crab Rolls.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you know who he is?
Yes, I do.
So I had the jumbo lump crab roll, and we started talking, right? Him and his assistant. And we started talking about the quality of the egg rolls, and of the crab rolls, I guess, not crab egg rolls, but they're essentially egg rolls with crab. And he was telling me how he makes them, and the nicest guy. And then when he found out who I was, he was like, oh, man, I listen all the time. Big fan of the Rooster, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. So we took a picture, and I texted him this morning, and now we're pals. How about that?
Hey, they stepped the game up, Rooster. But look, I want to say this. I'm going to get off the line, because I know you get ready to shut it down. We got a veteran team. I can't predict what the future is going to be for our wide defense. But when you have a veteran team, you have the ability to talk to the coaches. They respect your knowledge. That's where I want to go at. So let's hope everything going in the right direction when it comes to this stopping the run. So if they got to tweak some stuff, I'm sure they're going to do it. But I think I'm going to say it now, and I want everybody in DMV to hear it because it's coming from Mr. Little. We will host a championship game. And we will march on. And guess who we going to meet up in the Super Bowl? Your squad, Buffalo. There you go. That's all I got for you, big fella. God bless y'all. Stay up.
Attaboy. Thank
Buffalo
you, Little.
Buffalo and the Commanders. Super Bowl 60. And guess what? I'm going to be there. God bless you, big fella.
I don't know how Buffalo became my team because I went to school in Buffalo and I worked there. I don't know how that happened.
I know you still kind of heard from that Super Bowl 26. Okay. but they're going to get a chance to get back up in there against us again.
Thank you,
Lou. Here we go. My
Thank
man.
You. Thank you.
God bless you. Stay
I
up.
I appreciate you. All right, let's get quickly back to Athan because he was midstream here, and we lost him. Sorry about that, Double A. Go right ahead about audience and knowing your audience.
No, I mean, just at the end of the day, it's all about the money, and don't let anybody fool you. If they say it's not, but it is. It's always about the money in any profession you're at, because money dictates lifestyle and what you can do for your family and whatever. So just listen to your audience, you know, call their bluff. You know, I think they're running this team the right way. But at the end of the day, all that whining, I'm going to want to trade, I'm not getting my way. Listen, go cry to your union that's negotiating the CBA and you can't renegotiate until year three. That's part of the problem for some of these guys that are on like 3-year deal or, you know, third round picks, fourth round picks, whatever, you know, to like Paulie's point, to blow out a knee or whatever, you know, at any time. One misstep, your career's over. Look at Leighton Vander Esch and, you know, Ryan Shazier. So you got to get the money while it's right. But if you don't like the rules or whatever, go cry to your union because that's where it starts.
Well, here's part of the problem. The union that they're crying to is an absolute debacle, you know? I mean, quite honestly. And here's the thing. Again, owners know. They already know. These guys don't want to miss game checks. These guys aren't serious about holding out. These guys, I mean, that, like, every trick in the book has been mutilated. The hold in, hold out thing, the trade request. They've screwed themselves. They've lost any leverage that they have, right? And maybe I'm missing something. And maybe, again, in some cases, it works and they get a deal done. But, like, Brandon Ayuk, didn't he demand a trade or request a trade or whatever the hell it was last year, right? And then as soon as they paid him, boom, he's fine. I mean, like, all of these guys, and we keep going. Again, I guarantee you, Adam Peters just laughed at the trade request. Just laughed. Didn't even take it seriously for 1 second.
Well, again, because they all collude to do the same thing together, all these players. Oh, I'm going to request a trade. I'm going to request a trade. It's going to change things. No, well, it's not. It's
what happens when you cry wolf or whatever that little adage is, right? I forget, back when we were kids, right?
A bunch of, you're looked at like it's nonsense.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
You know, and that's what it is. Because at the end of the day, they don't care. It's all about them, themselves, and their families, and they want to get their money. They want to get paid. Okay. You don't like it, get other union people in there then and stop making asses of themselves, because the deal they have in place is not good. So you have to wait till year three for some of these third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks that end up being good players to renegotiate their deals. There's a problem with that, but they can change it.
Attaboy. Attaboy. I appreciate you. Thanks for getting back aboard and for being involved in the show, as always. That's Athan in Annapolis. More calls coming up. The roster cutdown is just about a half an hour away. Deshaun Watson on the physically unable to perform list, and the Commanders have made Terry McLaurin's deal official, at least on Twitter, or whatever that's worth. And more Commanders news right here, right now. All right, in addition to making the Terry McLaurin deal official, the Commanders have also reportedly, believed by Nicky Jabvala first, or actually John Kime first, have released Cole Turner. Not a surprise there. And now the question is whether Isaac Yankoff Isaac Yankoff used to be a wrestler. Colton Yankoff, my goodness. Also, Robert McDaniel has reportedly been released, amongst others. Tay Martin, Demetric Felton, Sam Hartman, Jalen Holmes, Cleland Farrell, and a couple of veteran receivers like KJ Osborne and Chris Moore, all among the reported cuts today. The official cut deadline is coming up at 4 o'clock around the NFL. The Browns have released veteran and off-traveled wide receiver Diontae Johnson. Spencer Rattler is going to be the Saints' starting quarterback over Tyler Shuck, the rookie. Malachi Corley, third-round pick in 2024 with the Jets, cut by the Jets. And Mecole Hardman, former Super Bowl hero, cut by the Green Bay Packers after he was let go by the Chiefs. Meanwhile, supposedly, according to Yahoo Sports, Ohio State is not banning Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy, from being inside Ohio Stadium on Saturday for Fox's broadcast of Ohio State and Texas. We'll see where it goes from there. Game two of a three-game set in New York against the Yankees for the Nationals tonight, 53-78. Yuck, but Mackenzie Gore on the bump for the Nationals against Luis Gill of the Yankees. 7:05 first pitch, 6:35 the coverage on 106.7 The Fan. And that's what's trending. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's Burgundy and Gold today. Linnell, don't call me anything other than Linnell, Willingham, and Anthony Haney. Baby Ant? Ant-Man? I could be cool like the rest of the media and be like, Ant-Man. Yeah. Because that's what they do to Anthony Edwards. Instead of calling him Anthony Edwards, which is his name. And then they turned it around and said, well, what do you call AMAC? I call him AMAC because that's what he wants to be called by his colleagues, by his friends.
So is that like, were they upset with you for not calling them their name?
Anthony looked at Linnell and I and said, why do you both call me Anthony? I said, because that's your name. He goes, well, why don't you call me Baby Ant? And I said, I don't know, because I don't know you as Baby Ant.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever heard anyone call him Baby Ant.
Right. So my point was, I call you by what I, you know, like, I know that's not, I know AMAC is not your name.
Yeah.
Okay. But I presume, unless it was a Doc Walker thing, I don't know. I presume you want to be called, like, AMAC, right?
Yeah, that's what everyone calls me.
Okay. So you're fine with that. You're happy with that. That's what you would like to be called.
Yeah.
I call you AMAC. A, it's a little bit easier to say than your full name.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's another Anthony as well.
Right. But I call you AMAC. Anthony Haney, I call Anthony or Mr. Haney sometimes, or Haney or whatever, because that's how I was introduced to him. I wasn't introduced to him as Baby Ant or Ant-Man or whatever the hell he just mentioned during a break. Like, I'm supposed to change the trajectory of what I call somebody midstream? No, doesn't work that way. Yes, I won't forget about Paramount Plus. You're right. I need to tell the people about Paramount Plus. Oh, yes. AMAC. Football Talk on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So there you have it. Good to have Paramount Plus aboard on the radio show, Graham. One thing that I wanted to get to coming up at the end of the show, and we'll probably blend it into Dum Dum of the Day, is this whole Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy, Ohio State thing, because there's a lot of weirdness going on. So we'll probably do that for Dum Dum of the Day instead of the story that I had originally planned out for it. I want to get to a couple of last calls here on the Team 980. Let's go Rob and Frederick, line four. Then we'll get to Lee and Dale before the end of the show. Go ahead, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, supposing if Peters would have gotten a call and said, I'm giving you two first-round picks for Terry McLaurin, do you think he would have jumped on that deal? Then Terry would not have been bluffing anymore, then, would he?
It's a very fair point. It's a very fair point, but I think I think that's a different circumstance than maybe what I'm trying to get at. While I acknowledge your question and your point, and yes, that makes sense. I guess what I'm saying is Terry had no intention of getting traded. He was just using that as a public ploy to let everybody know how pissed off he was. And it didn't work.
I know.
Supposing
that Peters would have called his bluff.
Well, that would have been Adam Peters' decision. It wouldn't have been because Terry requested a trade, because nobody took that seriously. I guess that's my point, is that if I say to you, Rob, I don't want you to call the radio show, right? You're a nice guy, but right. I don't want you to call the radio show. And then you called the radio show. You kind of called my bluff, right? I mean, maybe it's not exactly the same, but you get my point. Like, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to eat carbs, okay? Because carbs are so good. And then you eat carbs, and you're like, ah, screw it. I'm eating carbs, right? You're doing what Rob wants, not what I want.
Well, it reminds me when I asked for a raise one time, and the boss said, go out and look for another job.
Yeah.
By the way, don't show up tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, here's the thing. We all know our leverage as regular civilian employees, if you will, and it's the same thing for me, man, is way, 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 way different. We don't have an army, a contingent, a battalion of media putting pressure, and fans and a fan base putting pressure on owners, GMs, and teams to do the right thing or to do the thing that their customers want them to do. You know, there is a difference.
Supposing this would have been the old Bob Irsay of the Colts, what do you think he would have done? He'd have been shipped out on the rail on a tail in a heartbeat.
I mean, listen, I don't know.
I get it.
He would have been packed up on a Mayflower. How about that? In the middle of the night. Yeah, in the middle of a blizzard. Yeah, you're right. I gotcha. I appreciate the phone call, Rob. I understand the point. Let's get to Lee in North Carolina next up as we try and get through the remaining calls. Dale will be next. Lee, how are you, sir?
Good day. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for making it.
With Terry being signed, I can see us going 12-5 this year. Without Terry, we would have been 8-8.
Ooh.
So that was a definitely good signing. And Jaden would not have been the top five. He would have been a top 10.
All right, wait. Rewind for me. You think Terry is worth 4 wins?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay.
As one caller called, I'm a season ticket fan holder. Mm-hmm. I go to League 6 or 7 games, and I travel with them across the board. So I know what they're capable of doing. And another quick point, concessions, them crab cakes are outstanding. And those fries with those crab on it, oh, man, D.C. crab is wonderful. Woo! It's some of the best concessions in the house.
I love it, man. It was an awesome experience. You know, Chef James, he did it up for me last night. I will tell you that. And I mean, I'm not supposed to be having crab rolls or egg rolls or whatever, but I'm telling you, man, they were phenomenal. And I mean, if you're going to FedEx or Northwest Stadium, you know, make sure you find out where DMV crab rolls is, because I mean, there were other great vendors and great food products there, but that was my favorite. I had the jumbo lump crab roll, right, with the little fries underneath. I only had one fry because I'm trying desperately to watch how much I'm eating, right? But he had like a spicy avocado sauce and then a sweet almost like a sweet chili type sauce, and it was just
for time's sake, guys, let me get one more thing in,
yeah,
right quick. That defense. Hey, Kinlaw, and Debo, those guys are going to be 1,000 yards for Debo. Kinlaw going to get a dozen sacks.
Woo!
And along with Kinlaw.
Man, if Kinlaw gets 12 sacks, I'm going to let you do a segment on the radio by yourself, okay?
Kinlaw going to get a dozen sacks. Debo going to have over 1,000. And watch out for Newton and DJ Wise.
Okay.
That defense is going to be amazing.
I love the optimism.
Like
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate you. I got to let you run so we can get one more in here before the end of the show. Dale in Hyattsville. Final caller of the afternoon, Dale. How are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Dale. Thanks for the buzz, as always.
Well, let me tell you, I don't think the players are playing this overhand. I'm playing their hand over. This system's always been built for the best of the best. If you're the first rounder, you're the best in your position, you're going to get your money. That's the reason why I look at somebody like a Michael Parsons with the stuff he's doing. I'm saying to myself, why are you doing all this kind of stuff when you're a first-round pick, you're the best in your position? You don't need to sit up there and do this kind of stuff. Just sit out. Just let your agent do it because you're going to get your buddy. And as far as I'm concerned, it's always been that way. Terry, he had a lot of things going against him. First of all, you had people that were better at his position, number one. I heard the last call saying he would take McLaurin over as four wins. If I had a choice between Justin Jefferson and McLaurin, I'll take Justin Jefferson. If it's Jamar Chase, I'll take Jamar Chase. It's always been that way. If you're the best in your position, you're going to get your money. If you're not the best, you're going to have a hard time. And I think that everybody won on this McLaurin thing because I think people mad at DeMille. Yeah, he wasn't going to get his $30 million signing. I mean, he wasn't going to get $50 million signing bonus and all that other stuff. He wasn't going to get all the years that he was going to get. He'd maybe get 3 years, and they said, okay, and then we'll give $30 million for you for the signing bonus. And also, I want to say one more thing. I heard like Sabat, and I heard a couple of people talk about they took some money out of the signing bonus. The signing bonus is that money you're going to get guaranteed.
Yes.
That's not nothing going to be pulled out of that.
Correct. That is fully guaranteed.
You're going to get that money. The only thing is with the salary, that's the reason why they want extensions because of the signing bonus. That's what they want because the regular salary, if say for instance you have a 4 year contract, you have $32 million a year. If you do the first two of those years of those contracts, you get the money. But if you can't do those years because of injury or whatever, you ain't going to get that.
Right.
You're just not going to get that.
Well, that's why the guaranteed money and fully guaranteed money and the practical guarantee is really the important number, and the structure is so important. I appreciate the phone call. I got to let you run, but good job, Dale, to finish it up. All right, good job by you guys late in the show. Appreciate you. Coming up, Dumb Dumb of the Day next on the Team 980. Alrighty. You guys know I'm not a barstool sports kind of guy, and I'm certainly the furthest thing from a Dave Portnoy fan. I don't know how Dave Portnoy became so popular, so polarizing. So, well, actually I do. When you study society as I have in depth, for the last 12 to 13 or so years, and you see the rotting decay of the fabric of America, the way I have, the way I've identified, the way I've studied and analyzed, you know why Dave Portnoy is so popular. Yet, that being said, someone leaked out that the Ohio State University, was banning Dave Portnoy from inside Ohio Stadium on Saturday, as Fox's big whatever noon thing pregame show shifts from outside the stadium to inside the stadium. And then Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, AMAC saw this, no. The Ohio State AD said, no, we're not kicking him out. We're not preventing him from being inside the stadium. So I thought to myself, well, at some point, somebody didn't just make it up out of thin air that they were keeping him out. So they probably decided, let's keep Dave Portnoy out. He's a big Michigan supporter. He allegedly paid Michigan's quarterback. He hates Ohio State. Why should we let him in here as we celebrate our national championship? And then they caught wind of, the Stoolies, or whatever those people are called. And then they change their mind. I think that's what happened. So for everybody involved in this, including Portnoy, because he's a waste of time, and anybody that may have decided to try and keep him out, grow up. Concentrate on something better, something that matters. Who cares if Dave Portnoy is in your stadium? Who cares? He's not damaging anybody. He's not doing anything. He's insignificant except to a bunch of meatheads. That's it. I made an executive decision. I wiped out the story I was going to do for that because we didn't get to it on the show. But good job by you, AMAC, for finding that Ross Dellinger. Is it Dellinger or Dellinger?
Dellinger.
Dellinger. That's what I thought. Okay. You know, in Ohio State, they do. Oh, we didn't kick him out. We didn't kick him out. All right. We got to go before Anthony Haney and Linnell Willingham yell at me and say, I'm too late. I'm too this. I'm too that. Back tomorrow at 1. Once again, I screwed up and didn't play the Brandon Coleman interview. Maybe one of these days I'll get to it. Maybe. Maybe. Sorry. Thanks to you for calling and being a part of the show. Back with you tomorrow at 1 right here. I got to go chase my car around Prince George's County. Yay! How exciting is that? Thanks to my sources for helping me identify where it is. We'll figure it out. Next. We'll figure it out next. See you tomorrow at 1. Thanks to AMAC. Adios on the Team 980.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Russo. Goodbye.